This is the Shelley Irwin Show podcast from WGVU for Wednesday, July 29, 2026. Today we talk about Kids Day at the Zoo, Traverse City Food and Wine, local author Chris Hamstra joins us, Dr. Chuck Vega on COVID-19, and the Hackley Community Care Block Party. All coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast from WGVU.
Let's talk WGVU Kids Day at the Zoo. It happens August 6th. That's next week. Sponsored by PNC Bank. At our zoo, it's a wonderful tradition getting our partnerships all involved and more. Good that you are here, my colleague Kim Shefferly. Hi to you, Kim.
Good morning, Shelley.
Appreciate you. Mariah Malone, you're all about events, event planning and more at the wonderful zoo. Do you have a favorite animal?
It's hard to choose, honestly, but I'm a real big fan of our snow leopards.
Cute. And the otter. We'll talk
of course
about that. Oh, Kim, here we are again. You stay long enough, WGVU Public Media, you know what you're in store for. It's a good time for all. Tell me more.
It sure is. It is almost time, once again, hard to believe, for WGVU's Kids Day at the Zoo, sponsored by our friends at PNC Bank, Thursday, August 6th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at John Ball Zoo just down the road. And the cost is just $7 per person, and kids 2 and under are free. We're super excited.
Yes. And this is such that it's a partnership and a good way for, well, us to discover our John Ball Zoo. Do you find, Mariah, that we're still learning about the zoo even though you've been around for a while?
Of course. We're always learning things. I think there's still so much for us to do, and I love Kids Day, so I think it's a great opportunity for people to come on out.
Why do you love Kids Day?
Why do I love Kids Day? I mean, obviously, I'm a big fan of events, but I love having the community come out and us being able to offer this at such a low cost and bringing in PBS mascots. It's such a good tie-in.
All right, I'm going to have to ask you which PBS mascot is your favorite. But yes, we have mascots, we have entertainment, we have that creative cube we'll get into. And a lot of this takes place, tell me the structure, Maria, outside of the zoo entrance?
So we do both outside of the zoo entrance and then inside the zoo. So we try and make sure that you get an experience everywhere you go that day.
All right, Kim, dig a bit more into what your families are in store for.
Yes, so for the PBS Kids mascots, outside of the zoo, sponsored by Pioneer Construction, we're going to have Carl the Collector. He's a very friendly raccoon, a little bit newer to the PBS world, but don't make sure you don't miss him. And then also outside the zoo gates, courtesy of our friends at PNC, we are going to have costume character Rosita from Sesame Street. Yes, we have a Sesame Street character, which will be a huge draw. She's just a great, lovable character, so you want to make sure and come see her as well. And then inside the zoo, we'll have many people's favorites, Clifford, the big red dog, sponsored by Milk Means More. And also Michigan Education Trust will be bringing their mascot, Houdini, which is an owl.
I guess that makes sense. Houdini. You bet. Is everything that we're discussing on our website?
Yes, it is. WGVU.org/Kids Day will get you more information. And you can also purchase tickets in advance for quick and easy entry if you would like, or you can just show up and go to the gates.
Yes. What is an exhibit that you want to make sure we see while we're also seeing much under WGVU's leadership?
Sure. We actually just had a new habitat open this year, so I would highly recommend you stop by the otters. It's very hard to miss because it's right when you get in the gates. But our otter habitat is so much fun. We have an all-male group, and they're always out there romping around, and their four of them are just so entertaining. I have so much fun with them being right, like, the first thing that you see.
Boys will play. Super. Entertainment, Kim?
Yes. During the morning hours, we will have Wimmy and Friends performing on Central Stage, which is right in the center of the zoo. You can't miss it. And in the afternoon hours, we will have our friend Benjamin and his family performing, a family-friendly entertainer with lots of energy. And something new this year, in between The entertainment sets, the YMCA will be providing Zumba sessions. So people can get on the stage and you know, get their steps in, jump up and down, and do some fun Zumba. So we're excited about that.
And then get your steps in around and around the park. That's for sure. How are your red pandas these days?
They're just as cute as ever. Oh, Wyatt and Wasabi are going strong, and we love to see them.
And give me more about your snow leopard.
Yes. So our snow leopard, Junie, was just a baby last year, and she actually just turned one. So it's a really good time. You can stop on out, say happy birthday, and see so much that we have going on.
She's about the age of our puppies. They're cute. Oh. Yeah, think about their play. Yes. Will they ever grow up? I'm scared. Hope not.
No.
Krim, there's a creative cube that I mentioned. What is this?
Yes, we've had this before, and it is a big draw. So we invited them to come back. It's an interactive, accessible mobile art studio by artists creating together. You can't miss it. It's a big yellow vehicle, per se, big kind of rectangular vehicle, and that will be parked outside of the zoo gates next to the big Pioneer construction crane, and that will be on site from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
You still have the camels on site?
Of course we do. Yes. Yep, you can still go ride them.
Yeah, because that's what you do, right?
Yep.
Then they're not there to see in the pasture. They're there to be ridden.
Yeah, we do have them going around all day, and you can check out a lot of our different adventures that we have like that, like zip line and ropes course. So if you want to have a really fun day, we got a lot going on.
And that is available on the 6th for us as well.
Yep.
And obviously this is open to everyone, so everyone will be have this opportunity for $7.
Yep. Everyone will have the $7 opportunity, which is really, really great for us to be able to do. So I love this partnership.
Yes, but membership has its privileges.
Of course.
Yes. Kim, we'll be broadcasting that morning. Talk to me more.
Yes, the Shelley Irwin Show will be live on site broadcasting from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. We will have some of our friends from John Ball Zoo speaking, as well as some of our friends, partners, and sponsors kicking off the day.
You want to drop Salvation Army? They'll be feeding the staff and sponsors. Yes.
Once again, thank you so much to our friends at the Salvation Army. They will kindly be providing lunch and water for staff, volunteers, and sponsors. And typically, Kids Day tends to be very warm. So that water is, we are very, very thankful for that water. And of course, the delicious lunch they provide as well.
Yeah, I only have the forecast through Tuesday, which is a sunny high near 88. So may that continue, I guess, but sunscreen important. Mariah, you events manager, what other events happen at the zoo?
Yeah, so actually we had to reschedule our Pink Flamingo Day, and it is happening tomorrow. We had some issues with the smoke that was going on, so we rescheduled. So we have Pink Flamingo Day tomorrow, WGVU Kids Day next week, and then Safari Day the following week. So we've got a lot going on.
Yes, we should in the summertime. Kim, back to you. I'm kind of playing ping pong here a little bit. What about the provision of literacy kits for various ages?
Yes, the WGVU education team will be stationed outside of the zoo gates, and something new, they have put together hundreds, if not thousands, of literacy kits that they will be handing out to kids of all ages, different age groups. You have 0 to 2, 3 to 5, 6 to 8, all the way up into early teens. And these are kits that that help with literacy, skills, reading, education. We're really excited about these.
And lastly, for you, Mariah, we go to the zoo, we see our animals, wonderful education, but you're also about the environment and conservation and more?
Absolutely. We're always looking to see what it is that we can do. You can actually recycle your cell phones at the zoo now. We have a new e-cycling station, and so we're always looking for ways to improve upon the environment. And our conservation team does such good work and makes such strides with different programs like our Powashik Skipperlings, which are native to Michigan, and we're reintroducing that population back out into the wild right now.
And Kim, lastly, before we come back to our beginnings, there's free ice cream bars, there's a Pioneer crane. What else you want to share here?
Yes, Milk Means More is covering ice cream bars, I believe, for 500 guests. And you can pick up your coupon in the center of the zoo near where the face painting is. and cool off with a free ice cream bar. And one thing I also want to mention is to visit the WGVU tent, which will be stationed outside of the zoo gates for your free tote bag. We just ordered these, and they have a really cool new design on them.
All right, I'll be first in line. How's that? All right, yes, and come up to the broadcast booth. I might put a microphone in your face and say, why do you support WGVU Public Media? Mariah Malone, how do we find out more information about your wonderful zoo?
Yeah, you can come to our website at jvzoo.org and check out all of the events that we have going on, including Kids Day.
Wonderful. Final details on Kids Day at the zoo, Kim.
Thursday, August 6th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at John Ball Zoo. For more information, you can go to wgvu.org/kidsday, and we certainly hope to see you there.
Can't wait. Thank you both. Take care. Traverse City Food and Wine expands. Waterfront events announcing new chefs. Lots of stuff to talk about. Stuff is not the correct word. Good things, as they say. I remember the trip last year. Looking forward to this conversation with you, Whitney Wara, COO at Traverse City Tourism. Boy, you have strong leadership. Good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
With Trevor and Nick and Dad of Bubby and you.
Yeah.
So thank you for the good work. You're coming off the Cherry Festival.
Yeah. We had a lovely Cherry Festival this year. Obviously, that 100th year celebration was really fun. And although I've been kind of laser focused on food and wine, I didn't get to do quite as much cherry eating as I would normally like to do.
Okay, well, the cherries will be there for you. Traverse City Food and Wine. Remind me of this concept.
So we've got 5 days in Traverse City all around the region where we've got people coming in and, you know, culinary guests, like guest chefs coming from all over the country and all over the state, as well as some of our fantastic local chefs. So they're doing wonderful meals and things along those lines. But you can also go get it up close and personal with the winemakers and do some really unique wine tours. We are gathering everybody together on Saturday the 22nd at the Grand Tasting, where you can get sort of that wide array of flavors from around the region coming together in one space for a beautiful afternoon by the bay. Lots of different fun events.
But this is a 5-day celebration if you really want to go there, right?
Absolutely. And there's over 80 different events. And so we've got things from pretty much dawn till dusk, although, you know, we give people a little chance to sleep in and get their coffee. But the different events are taking place and people can kind of build their own itinerary based on what they're interested in. So every night has a fantastic dinner available, but there's also, you know, these cooking demonstrations, very affordable and family friendly things going on in the mornings, and beautiful lunches and sails on the bay and all different kinds of things all within this theme.
Was it important to announce and to present new chefs this year?
Yeah, so we were able to, you know, have a wonderful group last year, and we just had so much fun together. And this year we have a couple of new faces coming in as well, and lots of returning chefs. So some of those same folks that people enjoyed last year, you'll see them. And, you know, they've expanded what they're doing. They've invited some of their friends along, so the culinary experiences that we've got, the folks that did it last year were like, oh, this is so much fun. How do we get to bring, you know, we want to do it again and we want to bring our friends. And so they have just a blast hanging out together in the kitchen.
Yeah, list of them all, too many to list, but goodness gracious, from all walks of life, award-winning Michigan chefs. Michigan chef's key here, too.
Absolutely. Ji-Hai Kim from Miss Kim's in Ann Arbor, fantastic chef. She's doing several different events. Omar Anani, who is one of my favorites to work with, he's just a blast, and his food is fantastic. But we've got a couple more of those great Detroit chefs, Anthony Lombardo, who just opened Medusa and has another, you know, fantastic restaurant there in Detroit, and Andy Holiday from Selden Standard are coming up. And then our local chefs there in Traverse City, several of them recognized by James Beard. All of those folks are coming together. We've got a beautiful James Beard Foundation dinner, for example, with
it's August 19th, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that whole August 19th, you have an opening night patio party and also the James Beard Foundation dinner.
Absolutely. There are multiple things to do every day and every night, so it's definitely a great time to come to Traverse City.
Wonderful, because Traverse City is all about culinary adventure and agriculture expertise,
and
right?
And that's one of the reasons we wanted to put this event together. It is a celebration for us of the agriculture, the agricultural products, the wonderful experiences people can have. We think it's a beautiful setting. We're a little spoiled up there with all the beauty around us. But we, you know, wanted to make sure that we were able to get people excited about that peak season of, you know, we've got the most beautiful produce at that time of year.
Yeah.
And really, again, coming together and just enjoying a celebration.
Remind me, for the first time, I know the festival's waterside open space demonstration kitchen. I mean, you've got events every day at this beautiful place.
So we built this, again, this great kitchen. It's fully functional. It's a ton of fun to be able to go up and cook in that kitchen on the stage. And so we wanted to use it more fully. Last year, we had the grand tasting. We had a couple of events the day before. This year, we're fully utilizing it from Wednesday all the way through Sunday. So everybody can come and enjoy that those demonstrations. They're, again, very family friendly, very affordable in the mornings on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, several hour blocks where people can come and enjoy either a demonstration about the farmer's market and what's coming out of the market that morning, where some of the chefs might even be doing a little market basket challenges, some of that Food Network competition style going on. Other days, you'll see some of those very talented chefs from around the country coming in on the stage.
And you're pairing up with your National Writers Series at Traverse City Food and Wine?
Yeah. Yes. So the Writers Series participated with us last year on this too. They host the most beautiful conversations. Usually it's an author, you know, doing a book talk, not always on a culinary topic. But in this case, on Thursday, we've got Ruth Reichel coming in from Gourmet Magazine and New York Times. You know, her longstanding, her many years as a food critic and as a food writer. And now she's also writing fiction. So she's going to share kind of that whole thread with us. And I mean, what an amazing culinary voice that this country has had, you know, and we're just going to get to be up close and personal with her. So we can't wait for that one.
And writers and food and wine, who can go wrong with the trip to our Traverse City? And again, the good work you and yours do, COO Traverse City Tourism. And back to that wonderful Saturday where one wanders and sips. And is that a one price ticket for what I can drink, as they say?
Yeah, there's a couple of different options. State law prohibits us from giving unlimited drinks, but there is unlimited food.
And it broken that rule once.
Oh, yeah. I think you were pretty well behaved, at least what I saw last year. You know, I think it's definitely the opportunity is there. And we've changed things up a little bit. So last year you could only try a sample of each of the wines. This year you can get a glass of wine if you have one that you want, you know, prefer, and go and sort of hole up, you know, find a little perch over by the water and enjoy that for a little longer. But we really do encourage everybody to walk around and enjoy that sampling opportunity.
And talk to your winery folk, correct?
Talk to the wineries. We've got lots of non-alcoholic options as well. And then all of the culinary offerings. We've got, you know, dozens of restaurateurs in there as well. And so there's lots of different flavors. Everybody is really focused on using as many local ingredients as possible. And that's one of our really fun things about coming to Traverse City is we have so many fantastic things that are grown and raised there in addition to produced there. So
little show and tell, you brought in lavender?
Brought in some lavender from Bry's Estate. I went out and picked that. It's all in full bloom right now. It's gorgeous out there. You just have to hang it upside down for a couple of days. That's the tip from Patrick Bry's.
Oh, I wouldn't have known that.
It'll last for a really long time.
All right. And then is there a place I can support the wares? You brought me in a hat called Savor.
Well, the Savor is really sort of our theme for the year for Traverse City Food and Wine. We want to encourage everybody to come up and just savor that time that they can. So it's about flavors, but it's also about the experience and making sure you're making memories that will last forever.
All right, and Black Star Farms, you can't beat that winery. What'd you bring in here?
I've got a rosé there for you to enjoy, and, you know, it's the perfect summer wine. We've got the hot weather out. give it a little chill, and you can enjoy that one.
I'll open that with my next guest. Oh, maybe not. There.
Well, you can open it with us if you're
having
gonna
fun.
Open it
What else do we need to know, Whitney? Where it's never too late, early to start thinking about our tickets. Correct?
Absolutely. There are several events already sold out. We've been on sale for a bit here, and so many of the dinners have sold out. But we've got a few more that we've just added. There are fantastic collaborations going on, and I really encourage everybody to take a look at those. But we've got over 80 events. TraverseCityFoodandWine.com. All the tickets are available there. All the information. You can plan your trip if you're looking for hotel stays and things along that lines. And yeah, you've got 5 days that you can build an itinerary. If you can come up for one day, that works great. But if you can come up for all five, you are going to have a blast.
Yes. And you're going to support wonderful Traverse City or Tourism Bureau strong as we look at all four seasons, but nothing like the summer. How's that? One more time, Whitney Wara with two A's. How do we find out more information?
TraverseCityFoodandWine.com, and you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram as well.
Great. Thanks for the conversation.
Thank you.
Chris Hamster, I'm glad that you are here. We have stuff to talk about, as they say, have you stuffed twice. Season 6 of The Chosen comes out in the fall. You, a local offer, some thoughts to help the West Michigan community discover, develop, and deliver their stories through examples of the 12 disciples. Take it from here. Tell me more about you.
You bet. It's a great day to talk about stories and just how they're in our communities. I am a man of faith, and to talk a little bit about The Chosen and the 12 disciples, my book, In Their Steps, so walks through the 12 disciples, and each of the disciples are some examples of stories and how people in our communities, whether you're a person of faith or not, can use those to really make an impact.
Many questions. You are a professor of communication at Davenport University.
Yes, yeah, yes. I've been there 22 years, you know. We'll see from the picture afterwards whether, you know, we see the age or not.
Age is just a number. You won a Moth Story Slam competition in Detroit in January.
Yeah, what a ton of fun. I almost felt like I was this farm boy from Hudsonville going out to the big city. But the Moth, you know, as we know from NPR, one of the great kind of signature events. They do these across the country. Detroit and Ann Arbor are the two local ones. And in January, they had an opportunity for new storytellers to come up and tell their stories. So I talked about Kajkur, courage, and what that looks like from a Fulbright opportunity I had in Iceland. I had actually shared that in Holland at a Story Spark opportunity, because even in Grand Rapids and Holland and in the areas, there are opportunities for people to tell their stories.
Yes. All right, put your author hat on. What'd you write?
Okay. So the book is 20 years of thinking over time. I joke and say it's 20 years of thinking for $20. It's a value. But I started scribbling some ideas down because I see a connection with communication and leadership and how not just to influence people, but how to really connect. That's a big thing for me. So even in an environment like this, Shelley, you and I are connecting. We can share some stories. And whether you are a janitor of the lowest position in an organization, or you're a CEO and making a big impact, you can share, but most important, listen to stories which help organizations and communities and individuals, first off, have fun, but also grow together.
What's the name of the book?
In Their Steps.
Available where all fine books are sold?
All of the typical Amazon. I do have a Barnes & Noble signing event coming up in November. We're working on that right now, but if you wanted, you can even contact me and we can talk about the book.
Yes. Then let's go back to how I introduced us. Season 6 of The Chosen. Yeah. What's this mean?
Yeah, this is fascinating. Dallas Jenkins has gone over the first 5 years. It's the largest crowdsourced crowdfunding show ever produced. It walks through the examples of the 12 disciples and really Jesus and the disciples. Season 6 coming up in November, and this will be the last 24 hours of Jesus as he is crucified. And so really a really big season. But the coolest thing to me is that there is a season 7 coming up. I am not a Chosen insider or in no way associated with The Chosen, but I'm excited about season 6, but more importantly, season 7 and what the disciples do. And this is where I think the readers of the book will take the next step. My book hopefully talks about what's the next step for you and your communities and your organizations.
Yes. And then there's also a website, Leadership Life Stories.
Yeah, so that's my personal Leadership Life Stories website. I have a semi-regular newsletter that I share and just some thoughts and random things. I just came back from Alaska and got to fish in Alaska. What an opportunity. You know, we get so stuck with the phones right in front of us to see 12 miles and to have that perspective. And I hope people get to see a little bit about leadership and communication, how that all comes together.
Let me stay there. What does leadership mean to you? What does leadership mean to you? Who and what makes for a good leader these days?
Yeah, boy, that's a loaded question. And I could give you a dissertation on that.
You are a PhD, yes.
I am, but I won't do that now. But, you know, for me, typically leadership is about impact. For me, leadership is about connection. And how do you connect with the people that are in front of you? And it's not always just talking. It's about listening to people. And so in my mind, when we are connecting well with people, we're creating meaning together, much like we're doing right now, even through this weird form of radio and podcasts. We are connecting and we're connecting with people. That's important to me.
And yet they say we're not doing that as much.
Boy, it's fascinating, isn't it? With this world of social media, we are the most connected generation ever, but least feeling it. And, you know, one of the themes I address in the book is just about belonging and how do we belong and how do we develop community. I love the breakdown of the word communication. This is where I get scholarship for you. Communication in the middle is muni, M-U-N-I. It's the same Latin root word about building community. And so when we communicate well and we lead well, we're building community. And to me, that's huge.
Who are your students? Davenport. Who are your students at Davenport?
Oh, I love my folks at Davenport. Over 20 years of working with them, and I get folks from all ranges. I started out with adults as students, and I still get some here. I've got student veterans. I've got students that are student athletes, but I get people that are searching and people that are just trying to take the next step in life. And I have such a privilege to work with students at Davenport to help them see and connect with what are the possibilities. I had a fella come off of a mid-Michigan potato farm, and he's like, dude, I don't know why I'm here for 4 years. And I said, you don't really need to be. 2 years for an associate's degree. You can go back, you can figure out the businesses and what you need to do, and you can continue on in that heritage farm. And so I love students like that, but then I love students like Brad, who has just come back from war. He had been injured in an IED attack. This one makes me a little emotional. But he shared that story with this class and said, you know, the toughest part wasn't so much the injury and the war. It was now reintegrating into West Michigan. And how do I share that story with people? And I had such a privilege to walk with him and to hear his story and help him take that step and just be honored to listen to that story.
Dr. Chris Hamster with us, professor, Fulbright specialist, again, Davenport University here in wonderful Grand Rapids. What was this Iceland trip all about? I remember a bunch of us went there once. I'll go back again.
Yeah. So I've been to Iceland 3 times, and let me just say that I recognize the pleasure. The first time I went out was for a summer school. They did a summer school on leadership and sustainability. A blank email saying, hey, dude, I can talk a little bit about leadership and stories. And they invited me out. So I got to share with students there from we had 12 different countries. And that was really a cool opportunity because you're hearing stories and leadership from Germany and Colombia and Venezuela, Canada. And we even had 2 students from the United States. And so I served as a Fulbright specialist there. And again, I almost feel a little bad. I'm listening to stories and I'm thinking, boy, I'm actually getting paid to do this. This is wonderful. It was a great opportunity.
Find your passion. A bunch of us ran a half marathon that started at 9 p.m., finished 11-ish, and it was still light out.
Yeah, there you go.
Because of the summertime. And Greece, you did?
Yes, and so I was out in Athens, Greece. That was really cool to go out there again for another. The Fulbright specialists are typically short-term projects, 2 to 3 weeks. And so I served in Athens at Pantheon University. That to me, it was neat because I went to the Lyceum where Aristotle actually did did some of his work. And that was an insight for me. And I actually wrote about this in the book, too. Aristotle went to the athletes of the day because he saw that they were doing something in body that we do in our minds. And I like to think that scholarship isn't all just in our heads. We actually have to do it with our bodies, too. And again, that's where I love Davenport University, because we are providing an education that helps students not just in their minds, but what they can really do in the communities that they live in.
One more time, what's the name of your book?
In Their Steps. And so I'd love for folks to grab their copy. You know, it is out there on Amazon, but if you want to connect with me, I'd love to meet with you, and I'd love to hear your story.
Yes. Take-home messages.
Oh, man, stories are valuable. It's not just telling the story, it's listening to the stories. Be committed and find the storytelling opportunities in your area, wherever you're at. If you're in the Holland area, Story Spark. You can even find some in Grand Rapids with the Grand Rapids Story Spinners. And doggone it, reach out to me. I'd love to connect with you over a cup of coffee, too, and we can share some stories.
Wonderful. In Their Steps, yes. What Jesus and his disciples teach about sharing our leadership life stories and transformational ways. All right, your students are lucky, as they say.
Oh, I'm lucky to have them. I've learned so much from them.
Yes. You've reported from, I'm digressing a little bit, you reported from several events like the 2002 Winter Olympics?
Yeah, that's how I got started. So I started in local media here in West Michigan and was an overnight radio disc jockey and did some work with faith-based athletes. And went out to Salt Lake City in 2002, met Grandma Luge, 56 years old. She was going out and doing the luge. I'm going to check the age on that. But she was still out there competing. And what a wonderful opportunity to be in the middle and, again, to hear the stories of these great athletes.
I guess 56 is old for Olympics, but I'm not going to listen to that.
Not for you and me, yeah.
There we go. And the NCAA Men's Final Four, you had
yep.
a chance to rub elbows there?
You bet. Again, another great opportunity. Again, college athletes, I love the I'm going to say young folks in our lives, right? They are so, the athletes have so much passion and so much focus. Boy, and I think about how do you transfer those stories from the basketball court or the football field, or in my case, I love my rugby students at Davenport University. They see life a little bit differently, but then how do you translate those stories into business, technology, or health, and what can they do?
Professor Chris Hamstra, thank you. Take care. Experts are predicting increased COVID-19 activity late this summer, particularly in areas that didn't have a lot of cases last winter. So let's talk about it. It could have a lasting impact and continues to affect millions. So we talked to you, Dr. Charles Vega. This conversation important, and you are important. You, of course, your home away from home, UC Irvine's Family Health Center. Good morning, Dr. Vega.
Oh, great to talk with you. Thanks for having me.
Yes, well, 2020 won't go away, and obviously we need to be aware that that's a fact. Experts, and I trust you would be considered under this heading. Are you warning about a possible summer increase this year of COVID?
Right, that's a great point. We're already seeing the summer increase right now. We have wastewater data showing that the rates of COVID are going up, and that's not unexpected. We saw the same thing last summer. So, you know, when people get together for picnics and they're traveling more, we're going to see more cases of COVID. And it's not 2020. You know, we see less of an impact in terms of like severe infections, thankfully, but it's still a highly transmissible virus. And we still see severe cases as well. We also see long COVID is still fairly common. So we are not out of the woods when it comes to COVID-19.
And back to the basics. Remind me of the signs and symptoms that one may be experiencing COVID-19 versus the basic cold.
It is really hard to tell the common cold or influenza or RSV from COVID-19. All these viral infections appear kind of similar at the outset. So when patients are coming to me and they're complaining, I'm so tired and I'm congested, I'm getting cough, it's really hard to tell. I would encourage everybody to be prepared and have a test. Get the home antigen test ready. Have a plan of care. Contact your healthcare professional if you're sick, because getting tested is still really important, because we not only have medications to treat COVID-19 when you have symptoms, but we have a new option that's approved by the FDA, a pill to prevent COVID-19.
So why don't you expand on that? And again, noting that it has been approved by the FDA is important.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's been rigorously tested, and I'm here with Shionogi to help awareness of this new oral option to prevent COVID-19 called Zocova. It's indicated for folks who are 12 and over, and its main clinical study, it was 67% effective at reducing the risk of transmitting COVID-19 from somebody who's symptomatic at home with active COVID-19 to somebody who is asymptomatic, somebody who felt fine. So this is a way that you can take a pill for 5 days to prevent getting sick with COVID-19.
Is this something that needs to be prescribed?
It does. And so there are some things I would caution your audience about. So you want to, one, be prepared. Make sure that you've been exposed, whether it's at home, at school, at work. If you're exposed to somebody with COVID-19, you can qualify for somebody or for treatment with Zocova to prevent the onset of that the infection. But remember, it's just for folks who are 12 years and over. If you're breastfeeding or pregnant, you shouldn't be taking it. And there are some medicine-to-medicine interactions associated with Zocova. These aren't medications that I commonly use in my practice, so it doesn't affect, certainly even it affects a small minority of my patients, but we just want to use it safely. So you want to contact your healthcare professional to obtain a prescription and then start it in the right way.
Tell me more about other tools and available opportunities to prevent and reduce the impact of COVID-19, please.
Right. So we're in the summer surge, so the basics still matter. Hand washing. Don't touch your face. If somebody's sick, you try to isolate them as much as possible. I think the vaccine is still the main way as a public health entity we treat COVID-19. It's effective, but it's not 100% effective. Nothing is, right? So having Zocova as a backup is a really good option. I think the other thing, and the reason I mentioned be prepared, is that Zocova needs to be started within 72 hours of that contact, but ideally as soon as possible. Like if you can start it within a day after you know that you've been in contact with somebody with COVID-19, it's probably even more likely to be effective. And so if you want details, because it's a lot of information, please go to Zocova.com. It's Zocova.com. And you can talk to your healthcare professional, of course, about this as well.
Do you still advocate for masks?
I still advocate for masks in cases where somebody is sick. The easiest thing is for that individual who's sick. I see a lot of folks living in pretty cramped conditions. If you can't isolate, if you don't have a special room in your house, then at least wearing a mask, particularly for the individual who's sick, is probably the best way. I know people have, different feelings about masks, but they have been proven to be effective overall. So it's not an imposition. We're talking at least during those days of the acute illness for the first few days. I think it really can help make a difference.
Yes. All right. One more time, resource, please, that best website.
Yeah, the best website is Zocova.com, Zocova.com.
Thanks for your leadership here, Dr. Charles Vega. Take care to you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Mark your calendar for next Wednesday as the community comes together for the Hackley Community Cares 4th Annual Block Party. You can't beat a block party in our summertime. Let's talk about it with you, Cece Riley, Hackley Community Care, inviting, of course, residents, families, and partners. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for you. And, lots of partners involved with next Wednesday's event from 12 to 3. Remind me of the good work of Hackley Community Care.
Absolutely. We are a federally qualified health center serving residents in Muskegon County with medical primary care, mental health, dental, pharmacy, and school-based services.
How busy are you in general?
I would say pretty darn busy.
And I say that because, again, your services are needed and you give them, established, I see, in 1992, offering an array of services to those who need you. And I know, serving at least more than 21,000 patients annually, Cece?
Yes, that is correct.
Wonderful. Let's talk about a block party. What's the essence in having your community come together next week?
Yeah, sure. So this is our fourth annual block party event, and we do it in celebration of National Health Center Week. And we started this 4 years ago because as we were coming out of COVID, we just really felt the need to bring the community together and root people in togetherness. And so we thought, what better way to do that than to pull the community together and throw a giant block party event full of free activities and healthy resources for our residents.
Wonderful. Where am I headed, Don, the 5th?
Yeah, the event takes place on Baker Street between Hackley Community Care's 2700 Baker site and the Muskegon Heights City Hall building.
Yes. And what do you expect to see? This is a block party, but yet there's a lot of information that can be referenced as well here.
Absolutely. So we feed the community for free during this event. We have two food vendors that are going to be joining us. We will have pulled chicken sandwiches from Country Cookin', which is a local favorite. And then this year, new, we're actually partnering with Navarro's Mexican Takeout, and they are bringing like a ton, like 2,000 tamales that they'll be giving away too.
I think I've interviewed that CEO. Thanks for keeping it within the community. Cece, this is such that it is free and open to the public. Obviously, there also will be those on site, including representing Delta Dental, United Healthcare, lots of other sources to get some information on health.
Absolutely. So we bring our two mobile units to this event. We have a medical mobile unit and a dental mobile unit, and we'll be doing our own health screenings at this event. And then we also have over 30, I think we're up to almost 40 this year, community resource partners that are also joining us on site during this event. So they will have a ton of community information and literature. Public health is going to be doing vision screenings for those who are going into kindergarten. And then in addition to all of those resources, we're also giving away 400 stuffed backpacks in partnership with Consumers Energy to the community. And then we're really excited about this. For the past 2 years, we've had the luck of a grant that has allowed us to give away free produce during this event. And this year, the community really stepped up to fund this itself. So in partnership with Public Health, Trinity Health, AgeWell Services, and the Y, we are going to be giving away about 5,000 pounds worth of locally grown produce totally for free to the community.
Is this part of the Healthy Harvest Kit?
Yes, they are free Healthy Harvest Kits.
Nice. It's the Hackley Community Care 4th Annual Block Party. It's next Wednesday, 12 to 3, again at the 2700 Baker Street in Muskegon Heights, Michigan. Cece Riley, Director of Communications and Marketing, with us on behalf of Hackley Community Care. What else was I going to say? Let's see. Again, a true community success story this has come to be.
Absolutely, and I do want to give a little shout-out to Molina Healthcare as well. They have supported this event from day one and continue to be our event sponsor of this event. And we also have tons of stuff for the kids. So we have a huge kids area at this event. We have balloon animals and face painting and a photo booth and free snow cones. So it's definitely a great opportunity to bring the entire family down for resources, screenings, and a lot of fun and some food.
Nice. 4th Annual Block Party does happen. How do I find out more information in general, Cece?
Yes, absolutely. You can visit us on our website at hackleycommunitycare.org, or you can find more information on our Facebook page as well at Hackley Community Care.
Anticipating a beautiful day and a beautiful bond in that time frame at the 4th Annual. You take care, Cece. Thanks for your passion.
Yes, thanks so much for having me, Shelley.